Blog Talk Radio.
Talk, tune in each and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Walk the talk with her. Ways to make your life better so you can live your best life. Walking the Talk Radio. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to a rainy Saturday morning. I don't know where you are, but here in the A, we had a thunderstorm. The sky went from light to dark. I watched daylight turn into nighttime right before my eyes. The thunder and lightning and rain, it was wow. And the wind. We didn't know if it was a hurricane or tornado coming our way, but hopefully no one was affected and you're safe. But now I've seen the night turn into day because it's light outside again. It's raining here or there. Looks like drizzle mostly. So I just want you to be safe and be careful today. But it's a beautiful Saturday morning, and it's beautiful because you're alive, you're awake, you're alert. You get to enjoy this Saturday morning no matter where you are in the world. And I thank you for taking some moments to spend with me. I won't keep you long, I promise. I know you're busy, you have things to do, but I just wanted to take a few minutes of your time so we can walk this talk together. Thank you so much for allowing me a day off last week. I needed it on last Saturday, and we also did not have our family Bible study on that Tuesday. I've been hit, you know, physically and emotionally the last couple of weeks, maybe a month, I'll say. And so I just needed a moment just to tap out and so that I could be restored and rejuvenated and reborn. So I'm back and I'm happy and excited. I don't like leaving you because it's not only a message for you that I give, it's a message for myself. And it really, really does help me. So hopefully we won't have to do that again, and I'll be here with you ready and raring to go. So let's get right in it today. We're going to be talking about the chosen, and I'm grateful again because I completely forgot about one of my favorite Bible characters, which is Gideon. There are so many powerful stories and messages within his story. And so I just wanted to share a little bit with you today. So if you have your Bibles ready, pair by going to the book of Judges. We'll be looking at the 7th chapter this morning. And now a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you this morning for waking us up. Thank you for setting us on our way. Thank you so much for the full activity of our limbs, Lord God, that our minds are alert, that our eyes can see and our ears can hear and our mouths can speak. Thank you for our senses, our natural senses and our spiritual senses, Lord God. Thank you for what we go through, what we've been through, Lord God, and what we're going to go through. We thank you because we know you'll be there right with us, like that poem, Footsteps. When we don't see your feet in the sand, it's because you're carrying us through our situations and circumstances, and we thank you for it. This morning, I'm putting before you those that are suffering, those that are going through trauma, physical ailments, mental issues, Lord God, emotional breakdowns. I pray that you will restore them, that you will make them whole today, Lord God. Those that are struggling financially, Lord God, I'm asking that you would just lift the barriers off, Lord. Allow blessings to flow from the north, south, east, and west. I specifically pray this morning for my friend Lisa, who was in a car accident in New Jersey last night, Lord God. And there was a lot of drama between the driver trying to play games and the police, who took a long time getting there. I thank you that she was safe and that people came to see about her. Now take care of that situation, Lord God. Bless her with a new car and also the loaner, Let It Be Okay. Father, I thank you for traveling safety and mercy for those that are out and about today. Father, I lift before you Shanice Lytle, Lord God, on her mom who had a heart attack last night, Lord God, and needs bypass surgery. I pray that you would touch the doctor's hands, the nurse's hands, Lord God. You would become the master surgeon in that room and heal her heart totally. And anything that's blocking and anything that's causing the situation, that you would remove right now. But also comfort the family, Lord God. Comfort the sisters, Lord God, the grandchildren, those that are tied to Layla this morning, Father God, and just bless her and keep her. And I put before you all those that are suffering, Lord God, whether I know the situation or not, you do. So I'm asking that you would take care of each and every person in my circle, in my heart, in my mind and spirit, Lord, those that I know, those I don't know, or maybe met in passing. Just touch them, Lord God. Reach out to them in their moment of need, at their place of need, and restore today, Father. Now, give me the words that you would like me to say during this broadcast. Let it be insightful and inspiring and activating, Father. I thank you so much for your every blessing. Thank you for touching my eyes and my heart, Lord God. Thank you so much for being a father to me in the loss of my dad's, Lord God. Thank you for being a friend to me in the loss of friends, Father. Thank you for being a provider for me in the loss of some of the provisions I was counting on. I thank you so much that you are Jehovah Jireh. You have been Jehovah Rapha. You are Jehovah Nisi. Oh, Father, I thank you for being Jehovah Shalom right now, Father. Thank you for providing, being a healer, being the banner that goes before me and being my peace. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. All right, so let's get into it. We're talking about the chosen, and we're looking at Judges, the 7th chapter. And again, Gideon is one of my favorite Bible characters. I know every time I introduce a Bible character to this broadcast, it's one of my favorites. I have many, many favorite characters in the Bible because they speak to me and teach me different lessons, and I just learn from them. And I hope today that you'll get some insight about your life and where it needs to go or what you need to shake off today. So the chosen, we're taking out of Judges, the 7th chapter, and I'm only going to read a few verses in it. When you have a chance, if you haven't read Judges 6, I would recommend that you go back and read Judges 6 because it all starts there. It's a very powerful story. We talked about it 2 weeks ago and how you can try God and question God and talk to God. And so if you missed it, please tune in to the last broadcast that I did, which was How Will I Know? And it was some very informative information I got. Hopefully you did too. And today we continue on talking about the chosen, Judges 7. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. You can follow along in whatever version of the Bible that you have. And it says in verse 1, so Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Harod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moriah. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. So here we are in chapter 6. God told Gideon, he calls him out and said, you're going to rescue my people. And you know the story. Gideon said, you know, he was from the least of the families. His family was the least, and he was the youngest of the least of the family. And so he said, you know, he asked God 3 different times who he was and if his words were true and if his promises would come to pass. And God came through every time with all the tests that Gideon had given to God. He came through. So Gideon knew that God was real, that God was who he said he was, and what he promised Gideon would come to pass. So here we are. God has decreed that Gideon was going to save the Israelites from the Midianites. And here we are in chapter 7. Gideon is actually on his way to battle the Midianites. And this is what I want to say to you before I go any further. When God declares who he is and he decrees what he wants you to do with your life, it doesn't take 50 years for you to get to that place. You can start walking in it as soon as he tells you about it. Now, you have to follow God because Your breakthrough, your victory, your blessing may not be right then. The big picture that God has shown you may not happen tomorrow, but you walk out in faith and start walking it so that you can see it happen one day. I don't want you to give up because everything does not line up the way you think it should right then and there. I'm not just saying this for you. I'm saying it for myself as well because I've been that person. I truly believe God has shown me a picture of things that I will accomplish, but I wanted them right then and there when he showed them. So I was just like gung-ho. As soon as I saw something, I walked out. I walked it out. I tried to accomplish it. I tried to do it. And then, you know, like a week or two, it didn't happen. I was ready to chuck it and say, ah, forget it. I didn't hear what I heard. I didn't see what I saw. However, I want to tell you that God often shows us a picture of our future. And he's not telling you that it's going to happen tomorrow. It may take years for it to come into fruition, but he's letting you know this is what it looks like. This is what it will be like if you will start preparing and planning to capture it. So when you see it, that's when you should start. You should start, okay, God promised me A, B, C, D. Remember, I'm a visual person. I like seeing it in writing. I like seeing pictures. So write it down. Prophecy, the scriptures say, write the vision, make it plain. So write it down. Write what you see, and then write down what steps it will take you to get from point A to point Z, which is the accomplishment of that promise. And then even when you do that, how do you start step A? How do you begin? What do you need? What do you need to do? What is your mindset? You know, you have to go through all those steps. It's a process. And don't rush the process. There's so much you can learn in each step of the process that you will need for your future. I definitely now, because I didn't before, but I definitely now believe that everything you learn in your process of getting to the journey into the destination that you have, or go through the journey to the destination that you have, you will use at your destination point. So all that you go through, everything you learn, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you will take into your destination point and you will be able to use in the future. So don't get angry at the process. Don't hate the journey. Those are life lessons that you need to take with you for where you are going. When you get to that destination point, you will use everything. And it also helps you so that way when somebody else is going through, you can tell them about your missteps. I did this, this, and this. I would suggest you not do those. Now, that doesn't mean it isn't going to work for that person, but the reason we go through things is to share the information so that other people won't have to go through the bad part. Not saying it's going to be easy peasy for them, but you are the way maker. Okay, we know God is the way maker, but you're making a way for people to follow you. You are the one that is setting up what's going to happen so other people can follow in your footsteps. So don't hate the journey. Don't hate and rush the process. Okay, I just wanted to share that with you. That was on my heart and in my mind. So Gideon has his information. He has been given an assignment. He knows his purpose. He tested God first, but now he's walking out in it. And God says something really, really profound. He says, you have too many people with you. Where I'm taking you, where I'm sending you, I need people to give me the glory, not themselves. So what I have to do is make it so it's about me, not about you, and not about the people who are connected with you. Because if you have those people connected to you, they're going to take the glory and say they did it, and not give me my due. Here's what you need to know about the journey that you're going to get to your purpose. It has to be all about God. It cannot be about you. Once the spotlight goes on you, I really believe this. Hiccups happen, problems happen, and God has to shake you up and show you it's not about you. You can't do this by yourself. So since you think you can, I'm going to take my hands off of it and allow you to run the game, to run the ball, and try to make that touchdown. It's not going to happen because it's all about me. I am the reason you're being blessed.
I am the reason for your breakthrough. I am the reason for your success, your accomplishment, your goals being met. I'm the reason. So as soon as you take me out of it, I'm going to take me out of it and see what happens. So I need people to understand, even though God has graced you with the ability, the capability, I need you to still focus on Him. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your praise on God. Keep acknowledging God, because it is Him that allows everything to happen. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, God has to allow it. So give Him the glory, because without Him, you could do nothing. So this is where we are in the story. God saying, you have people with you, but they're going to think because you have people with you. And I believe at the time there were 32,000 soldiers with Gideon. And God said, those 32,000 people that you have are going to be so satisfied that they think they're going to win a battle because of their strength, their weaponry, their ability, their capability. So they can't be there, which brings me to point one. God will release those not meant to be with you. God will release those not meant to be with you. Look at verse 3. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. So there were 32,000 soldiers. Of those 32,000 soldiers, only 10,000 were willing to fight. God will release those not meant to be with you. Hear me clearly. There are people right now in your circle, in your life, in your business, in your plan that you're counting on. You know you have this massive project, this huge endeavor, and you need as many people as you can get to help you to produce whatever it is. God says to you, it's not about those people. It's about me. So I'm going to show you something. The question was, whoever is timid or afraid, they need to go. So God's going to release people in your life and in your circle that you've been counting on, that you've been supporting. They got a show. You're there. They have a grand opening. You're there. You're buying their products online. You're listening to their encouragement. You're supporting them. And God throws a whole bullet at that whole idea that they're going to support you. He releases them. There's something about them in the season of your life that you're in that's going to hinder you. You don't know what it is. You can't see it. All you can see is that you need help. All you can see is they have the skills that you need to get you where you need to go. That's what you see. So you're like, okay, I've supported you, sis. I've supported you, bruh. I've supported you, friend. I've supported you. So because I've supported you, it's only fair that you support me. And not only is it fair that you support me, but you bring this mindset to the table. You bring this gift to the table, this talent to the table, this skill to the table. I'm going to need you. You've made other people successful. I've seen your work. I know your history. I've seen your resume. I know what you can do. So because I have this project going on, this endeavor, I need your skill set here. And then what happens? They stop calling. They're too busy to make meetings. All of a sudden, they're getting paid the big bucks by somebody else. They have their own agenda, their own assignment that hits them, so they can't help you. And this is what I need to get into your head, because I had to get it into mine. Let them go. Let go. Put this word in parentheses, separate. You have to be good with the separation. I know it hurts because you've been counting on this person. They're in your pocket. They've been helping you. You know the skills that they bring to your dream. Let them go. Let them go. They were not meant to be in the season that you're in right now. You got to let them go. It hurts, and sometimes you want to close ranks, close the door on them, never speak to them again. They didn't support you. They flaked on you. They flaky people. They are unreliable. blah, blah, blah. But God released them for a reason. And you need to understand that even if you never find out the reason they had to go, if God never tells you why, you need to be okay with it. It hurts. Trust me, it does. I've had tears, many, many, many tears when people left my circle. I've had many tears when people just up and flaked and disappeared. I had many tears when it felt like people were not supporting me. It hurts. It hurts like hell. Can I be real with you? But here's the thing. It's okay. Still give God the glory. Still focus on him. Still praise him. Still thank him, because just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it does not make sense. It may be years later before you understand. You may never understand, but I need you to be okay with it. Yeah, go ahead, cry, curse, scream, throw tantrums. I've done that, all of that. So I can't even tell you not to do it, because it hurts, especially when you're trying to do something and it's from God and you know you can't do it by yourself. You may have all the talents, all the skills for everything you need done, but I guarantee you, sis, I guarantee you, brother, you cannot do it by yourself. You're not that person. There are only 24 hours in a day. You cannot do it all. You will work yourself into the hospital. You will work yourself into a stroke, into stress, into a heart attack, into your mind leaving. You will go crazy. You can't do it by yourself. Stop trying. Just realize and recognize those people had to go. You don't even know if they really had your best interests at heart. You sitting here boo-hooing and crying and bemoaning the situation, that could have been your Judas. And God said, this season, they got to go. I'm not going to allow you to be stressed this season. I'm not going to allow their tomfoolery to affect you. You don't know what was going on behind the scenes. So even though it hurts, even though you go ahead and throw your tantrums, realize and recognize they got to go. Time to separate and be good with it. Don't wish them bad. Don't wish them harm. They were there for a reason. Now it's time for them to go. Point two, God will reveal those meant to be with you. God will reveal those meant to be with you. Look at verse 5. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. That sounds like a crazy thing, but let me tell you how strategic God is. He tells Gideon, the 10,000 you have is still too many. Now, you're like me. You're like, dang it, I'm down to the bare minimum. I need these people now. You got rid of all those. They left, they hurt me, they did whatever they did, and they were released. They're gone now. We separated. All right, I moved on with who you left me with. But now I got a skeleton crew. I don't even know if they have all the gifts and talents and skills that I need to go ahead and move forward. But now you're telling me not these people either. Out of the people who are left, there are going to be a few that you select, that you tell me to keep. And it says it right there. Because right before then, in verse 4, God says, but the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. So the season that you may be in right now, you've already lost people. You lost some key people. You've lost some people you counted on and who you supported, and now their backs are turned. They're not helping you. They're not picking up phone calls. They're not answering emails. So now God's saying, okay, these are the people you have left. But even in the people you have left, still too many. They're still going to brag on themselves. They're still going to feel like they're the reason that you're successful. So I still got to cut some people. I'm going to determine who will go with you and who won't. But look at the strategy behind it. God says, meet me down at the spring. The people are going to be separated into two bunches. One are the people who kneel down, pick up their hand, scoop up the water and lap it like dogs. The second group is going to be the ones are going to be the ones who kneel and bend their heads into the water and drink that way. It's strategic because think about war. Think about battle. What are you supposed to always be? Alert. You're supposed to always be aware. How can you be alert and aware if your face is in the water? What can you see but water? But if you're bent down, scooping the water with your hands and lapping it like a dog, your eyes are still at alert. Your ears are still at alert. So you can hear and see if the enemy is trying to walk up on you. So in this season, the people who are left in your life are the people who are paying attention to the situations at hand, the circumstances. They truly have your back. They're paying attention, and they're not going to allow nonsense to come at you because it would affect not only them, but you and your dream and their future aspirations too. So they're alert in this season. God is so strategic that he's removing people from your life right now that are not able to keep and have your back. He's getting rid of those people that may fall for the nonsense, fall for tomfoolery. These people that are being removed from your life may have opened up a door that needed to stay closed. They would have allowed a snake in when there was no snake called to be in your life. So don't even get upset now that you have the bare minimum. You have a skeleton crew, and God's removing some of them too. And I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I'm going through. I'm telling you what I went through. I have gone through this since I started walking out Faith in Me Productions. Can I be real, real with you this morning? From the inception, I have seen people come and people go. And I've been hurt and upset by the people leaving. And now we started in 2014. Here it is 4 years later, and I'm still going through growing pains. But I understand it more now because when people leave you, God brings people that he has for this season into your life. And I don't want to say it like this, so I'm trying to be very tactful as I say this. Some of the people who left needed to because they were holding you down. Some of the people he's bringing in are a better fit for where you're going. And I'm not saying it as if you're all that and they're not. No, 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 no. What I'm saying is they had something else that God had for them to do, and they were better fit for where he sent them than for where they were with you. That's I wanted to say it like that because I didn't want you to feel like I'm saying people who leave are necessarily bad or bad for you or bad people in general. No, no, no. They just had something else to do somewhere else with the talent skills that he had given them. God is strategic. He is very strategic. You have to be open to losing people. I wasn't. As much as it was a part of my prayer when I started Faith in Me Productions, remember, I had three things that I asked God for. I asked him to help me to write the plays, the screenplays, the books, the whatever it was. I asked God to help me write them. At first, it was plays, but then I had to expand it. The second thing I asked God for was to bless every person who came into Faith in Me Productions, to bless them indeed, enlarge their territory, and bless them holistically. So that wasn't just physically, emotionally, spiritually, but it also was financially in their relationships. Every which way he could bless them, bless them. And then the third thing was I wanted people to get saved. I wanted salvation to happen. I can't be talking about God and nothing changes in people's lives. But number two, bless them. Sometimes in order to bless people, you're just a stepping board. You're just a stepping stone. You're a springboard to where they're going. So people may see their talents, gifts, and skills because of what you're doing, and they have to leave so they can bless those people and be a blessing. So this is why you can't get hurt and upset, because just because they're not with you, they're still getting blessed, and it's okay. All right? So God will release those who don't need to be with you, who were not meant to be with you. God will reveal those who are meant to be with you. And then number three, God will rescue you with those meant to be with you. God will rescue you with those meant to be with you. Look at verse 7. it says, the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. So God will rescue your situation. He will restore your dream. He will bring forth your purpose, your promise, your assignment. He will with the people that are left there. Do not look down on people because you started with 32,000 and you wound up with 300. God can use two people, one person, to create a dream. He can. He left you with who you have because now it's time for them to step up and to help you get to where you're going. Do not despise them because it's only three. It's only five. It's only 10. It's only 20. God has a way of turning those small numbers into victories. And as you become victorious, then he opens doors and masses of people may come. But he had to show you and he had to show other people that it was because of him that you succeeded. Because without him, you would have failed. People are going to ask you, how did you accomplish what you accomplished with just you, and two or three other people? And you're going to say, but God. It was only by God's grace, because of God. God did it. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for glory because he's the one that accomplishes it for you. You're not doing it. You have skill because of God. You have talent because of God. You have the mindset because of God. You have the will because of God. You have the determination because of God. You have open doors because of God. So you've got to give him glory. That's what he asked for. He asked for you to have faith in what he tells you, to walk it out. And then he asked that you glorify him because he's blessing you. So that's why there are some people taken out of your life. And let me leave you with this because it's been on my mind heavy the last couple of weeks. Reason, season, lifetime. Know who's in your life for a reason. Know who's in your life for a season. And know who's in your life for a lifetime. There are reason people, season people, lifetime people. Please, 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 for me, don't get it mixed up. It's very hurtful when you put a reason person into a lifetime category. Likewise, it's just as hurtful to put a lifetime person into a season category. You've got to be so mindful of who is in your life and what purpose they serve, even if it goes against what you want. There are some people we want in our lives for a lifetime. This is who we want to marry. This is who we want to be with. This is who we want to be booed up with. This is bae. And God is like, no, 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 no. I put them in your life for a reason. I needed you to pray for them. I needed you to get this information from them. I needed them to open your eyes to be aware of some things that were going on. That was their reason. And once that happened, they got to go. There are people put into your life for a season. There is a season of things that you are going through that they need to be there for. Seasons can last as long as seasons need to last. But be clear, when the season is up, the season is up, and they've got to go. Lifetime is forever. Those are who plant the seed, water the seed, speak up the seed, harvest the weeds, get rid of all the bad. They are there for life. Pray and ask God, the people you have in your life right now, right at this very moment, God, who do these people belong to? I mean, not who. Where do these people belong in my life? Are they a reason person? Are they a season person? Are they a lifetime person? And then listen to God. Not listen to what your lust is saying. Not listen to what your heart wants to hear. Listen to what God is actually telling you about people. These are the chosen. And they are chosen to either be a reason, season, or lifetime character in your life. You just need to figure out what they are or where they are supposed to be. And I'm leaving you with that because so many times I have put reason people in my mind into a lifetime category. So when it didn't work, I was just like, what the world? And God said, well, I never told you they were here forever. You wanted that, but I never said yes to that. You didn't ask me. And then there's some lifetime people I cut off because I was hurt, I was devastated, and God said, they're coming back. And I'm like, why do they keep coming back? Because they're there for life. And here's the other thing I want to tell you. Just because a person is a lifetime person does not mean they are your lifetime wife or husband or boo or bae. They could be a friend for a lifetime. Even though you're attracted, even though the two of you have the same chemistry, the same ideas, the same thoughts, you get along so well, they could be just a friend. And it's okay to leave them in the friend zone. You can't marry 20 people. And even though they seem perfect and may fit your idea of what a husband or a wife should be, may not be that person. They're just there because you can trust them and they have your best interest and you have their best interest at heart, and it's okay. So even with lifetime, find out what category in the lifetime category they belong in. Is this my friend for life? Is this my inspiration for life? Is this somebody that's supposed to just feed into me and I feed into that? What is it? And you need to find out. Ask real questions so you can get real answers. Sometimes we ignore people because they're not what we think they should be. And God is saying, I've had your husband, your wife in front of your face all this time, and you overlook them because the packaging isn't exactly what you want. Can I be very honest with you? This is why you're supposed to seek God first. Matthew 6:33. You're supposed to, because he'll let you know these things. He's very open to talking to you if you have time to hear him and you listen. You know what I found out? The word listen, if you flip some letters, is the word silent. So if you're silent and stop talking so much and allow God to speak, you can clearly listen and hear the heart of God. That's all I wanted to share with you today. There is the chosen in your life. I appreciate you so much for tuning in. I needed to hear this message for myself. It's something I've been juggling for the last couple of weeks, and I'm so glad that God was able to speak and I could be silent even as I was speaking to listen. So I hope it was a good conversation for you. I hope that it will activate you on doing some things this week differently, spending time with God and finding out the reason, season, lifetime people in your lives. And then likewise, pick that business back up, pick that book back up, pick that dream back up, pick that ambition back up, pick the music back up, pick up whatever it is that you are supposed to be doing with a new mindset, with a new set of eyes. This is how it's supposed to happen. People walked away, things left, things, doors closed for a reason. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week. Hey, don't forget to tune in on Facebook Live Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. for the family Bible study. This week we're talking about restlessness. I love you.